I invite you to rise as you are able for the gospel reading.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48, the lament. As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God." Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there, and he said, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard.
Let us give thanks for the reading of the word. Please be seated. I first fell in love with the writings of Bishop Desmond Tutu when I read his book, Made for Goodness, where he talked about a theology that claimed that we human beings were made for goodness. And as I started to read more of his writings, I started to discover a message of hope for the world and for our lives. Because he would write about the idea that people of faith had a responsibility for standing up to evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they presented themselves. During the apartheid regime in South Africa, Bishop Tutu showed over and over again that it was the responsibility of the church to stand up for the oppressed and challenge the oppressor. And then after the collapse of apartheid, he also modeled that it was the role of the church to offer healing through truth and reconciliation. Bishop Tutu, for me at least, models the way that we can turn a lament into an action. That we can take those things that hurt, those parts of our lives that are filled with grief, and turn them towards action. There's a quote that Tutu uses in the book God Has a Dream, where he says, "How do we ensure that goodness prevails? Who has the power to ensure that justice is done and that God's dream is realized?" Then he says, "We have that power." We have been in a season of lament here at First United Methodist Church. Throughout this Lenten season, we have been exploring the themes of the lament. We have done that through scripture, and we have done that through investigating our own lives. We have talked about how lament might get us down for a time, might weigh upon us with worry and anxiety. But the gift of the lament, one of the gifts of the lament, is that it can also spring us towards action. It can move us to discover that we really do have the power to face down oppression and move the needle towards goodness. So if you showed up to church this morning expecting to hear the story of Jesus' procession into Jerusalem, I apologize. We don't have that story as one of our scripture readings this morning. But I think we've probably heard that story enough to know it, right? We know about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey with the crowds of the city gathered, lining the streets, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King." I have a feeling we've heard that story before. I have a feeling some of us have heard that story a lot. Perhaps we have not heard the story so much of what happens right after that. You see, Jesus, by processing into Jerusalem the way he did, he was not only making a theological statement, he was making a deeply political statement. Because the people of Jerusalem, they would have been very familiar with powerful people processing into the city. Pilate, Herod, other Roman officials would have used processionals when they came into the city. They would have entered the city with all the regalia of the empire. They would have eagles flying alongside them. They would have the majestic horses that they would ride upon, and they would have their servants lining the roadways. The people of Jerusalem would have known what a Roman procession looked like. So perhaps in that light we see Jesus staging a counter-procession. We know about Jesus coming into the city, but Jesus doesn't have servants to line the roadways to praise him. So instead, he has the voices of the oppressed crying out, "Hosanna." Jesus doesn't have the majestic steed. Rather, he rides on the back of a borrowed donkey. Jesus does something familiar in an unfamiliar way. And as he enters the city, we know what he's there to do. We know about the Passion story. We know about the Last Supper. We know about the Garden of Gethsemane. We know about the trial and the crucifixion. And if you don't know these stories, we'll be talking about them throughout Holy Week this year. But maybe we are less familiar with the first thing that Jesus does when he enters the city. Because the first thing that Jesus does after the procession is he offers a lament. Jesus laments that the people of Jerusalem can no longer see the path to peace. Perhaps their vision has become so clouded by the wars of the empire, by the violence of the empire, they can no longer see how peace can be achieved. Jesus laments the state of the temple. I know I've shared this story before, but the temple was a sight to behold in Jerusalem. Several hundred years before it had been built by people coming out of exile from Babylon, and they built it in pale imitation of the first temple of Jerusalem. But around the time of Jesus' birth, there was a great project underway to rebuild that temple, to make it a destination where people from all over the known world would come and gaze upon it. Jesus' disciples are very taken in by the majesty of the temple. They really like the stonework of the temple. They comment on it in the Gospels. "Look at how great these stones are," they say. Jesus doesn't care about the stones of the temple. Jesus doesn't care if the carpeting in the temple has been vacuumed. Jesus doesn't care if the cobwebs have been kept at bay. Jesus doesn't care about the physical state of the temple. Rather, he goes into Jerusalem and he laments that the temple has become a place of commerce. He laments that people are buying and selling as if they were in a marketplace rather than connecting to the presence of God. Jesus laments the state of the people. Jesus laments the state of the temple. But then Jesus does something. Something that changes our story. Jesus turns the lament into an action. Jesus doesn't come with condemnation for the people. He comes with lament for how they have been kept from the presence of God. He laments that war has kept the people from encountering peace. He laments that commerce has kept people from encountering the nearness of God. But as he is lamenting, Jesus shows us how a lament can be changed into an action. Jesus clears the temple of the marketplace, and then he begins to teach. And none of the Gospels tell us exactly what it was Jesus was preaching. We don't get the full transcripts of his sermons, but I've got an idea. Because Jesus preaches the same things over and over again. I have a feeling that Jesus was preaching the radical love of God and neighbor. I have a feeling that Jesus was teaching about freeing the oppressed and lifting up those who had been marginalized. And I bet Jesus was preaching about opposing the power of an empire with that one tool that empires throughout history have not been able to stand, the promise of hope. Jesus turns his lament over Jerusalem into a powerful moment of action, revealing a new kind of kingdom, one that is of God and not of this world. But here's the thing. Nothing changes. Jesus' lament and Jesus' actions don't really seem to change anything. A few days from his lament, the political and religious authorities in Jerusalem will conspire with one another to have Jesus executed. And Jesus' lament doesn't change that. About 4 decades after Jesus' lament, the Roman Empire will sweep into Jerusalem and destroy the temple. And Jesus' lament doesn't change that. From our perspective, sometimes the action that comes out of a lament doesn't change a thing. But sometimes we are given a different perspective. For the religious powers of the first century, for the empire of the first century, the story ends on Good Friday. But that is not the end of our story. Good Friday is just the transition mark that brings us towards Easter and being an Easter people. So for the rest of the world, Jesus' actions look like failure, but for us, they look like transformation. I wonder what action we are being called to today. I wonder what places our laments are calling us to act. Right now, we have a war of choice going on in Iran, where lives are being ended without care or thought. And I know the deep laments that we feel. Not only Iranian lives, but American lives and lives of people throughout that region are being sacrificed at this moment. And I know that we feel lament for these things. But I also know that sometimes the actions that we can take will seem completely ineffectual. It will feel like a voice crying out into the wilderness and the wilderness just gobbling up that voice. But Palm Sunday reminds us that it is the action itself, not the result of the action. It is the action itself that brings hope into the world. We have a growing economic uncertainty in our country right now. I can't tell you the number of people who have called this church just in the past week asking for help because they can't afford their bills, because they can't find shelter, because they can't afford gas to get to work. And the actions that this community can take can seem so small. Yet we persist because the action itself leads to a greater righteousness. It's not the results that matter. It's the fact that we are willing to stand up again and again and take action in response to our lament. Not every lament is going to be a call to action. We've talked about other ways of lamenting. We've talked about laments that end in surrender. We've talked about laments that lead us towards community. But those laments that lead to action are uniquely powerful to change lives. But it doesn't always end the way we want it to. Truth and reconciliation did not end the problem of racism in South Africa, but it did change lives. Protests on our streets, like the one that we had here in Oneonta yesterday, are not going to convince those in power to bend our nation towards justice. But they do remind us that change is possible. Lament invites us to take all of those hurts, all of those injustices that we feel, all those pains and griefs of life, to take them all and to do something sacred with them. We might not fix everything. It might seem completely ineffectual at the end. But the lament teaches us that the action itself is sacred. Instead of letting those bad times in our lives, in our community, tear us apart, instead of letting them divide us, instead of letting them put us on the defensive, the lament invites us to radical honesty with God and with one another. The lament invites us to listen to one another with honesty, to hold one another in love, to name the truths of those hurting places in our lives and in our world, and then, to prophetically dream about how we might act towards making all those things whole. And that, in the end, is the work of the church. The work of the church is to do that prophetic dreaming about how we can come alongside the presence of God to work on making all things whole. What a gift that is. What a gift it is that we are not told to take our laments, bottle them up where nobody can see them, hide them away so that we don't even recognize them anymore. Instead, we are called to take our laments, offer them openly as a community, offer them openly to a God who listens, and use them as our call to action, and to discover that the act itself is what is made holy. That in a way, the results don't even matter, as long as we are acting each day to make all things just and righteous and whole. That is a gift that the lament offers to us. That is a gift that Christ offers to us. That is a gift that the church can offer the world. The gift of a lament that turns into an action, that turns into the embodiment of hope for a community. Let us be that action. Let us be that hope today. Let's pray together. Holy One, we are a people who know the lament. We know what it feels like to have communities divided against themselves. We know what it is like to have loved ones suffer in our presence and feel like we can do nothing to help. We know the weight that the lament presses down upon us. But we know the gift as well, O God. Remind us that the lament is an invitation to dream, to act, and to bring hope into the world. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.